And welcome back to another exciting episode of Catastrophe Dreaded Travel Fabulous, guys. It's been a really convincing short. You guys should watch it. Manciello. Let's see. Thiago Leone.
Yes. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's snowing here, so it's kind of getting a little Christmassy and stuff like that. I mean, LA, does it ever snow? Probably not.
No.
Maybe I'll ask the first question. You ever seen snow?
Oof. I have.
Touched
actually.
it.
I have
Touched
actually,
it?
yes. I've
Okay.
skied before, done snowboard before.
Okay, so you know.
Yeah, I come from like a surfing background, so.
Oh, well then.
So, you know, yeah, we like water in all kinds, let's say.
Interesting. That explains your short a lot. It definitely feels like a surfing short at the beginning.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
know, your opening shot, it looks like you could have surfboards in the back there. It definitely looks like a vehicle you would have used for surfing.
Yeah, that's a good catch. I think this song came sort of unconsciously, but you know, I'm from Rio, so I think carrying the beach, it's something that just happens naturally for me everywhere I go, in a way, you know.
Okay, I'm going to go totally off topic. Nothing to do with your short. You ever seen the film Blame It on Rio?
No, I haven't actually.
It's an old 80s
Never heard
film.
of
I
it.
think Demi Moore and Brooke Shields, maybe. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
What's it about?
It's about a guy, an older guy dating a younger woman. And they meet in Rio. And that's, I only remember because I saw it was like a big faux pas movie when I was a kid. And I mean, that's like a long time ago.
Okay.
I think Demi Moore takes her top off, or somebody does. I honestly cannot remember. It's been so many years I've seen it. Now I've opened my trap.
But it happens in Rio, so it highlights the Rio architecture, the
I
nature.
just remember a lot of beach and attractive women. That's all I can remember about this film. I'm sure it was not good, but I have no recollection of it.
That's the stereotype. That's the stereotype.
Probably 35 years later after seeing it. I probably saw it when I was like 13 or 12 or something.
Awesome. Awesome.
So now you live in LA, right? You started off in Rio and you live in LA. Now, before we get to your short, why did you move? To just promote yourself more?
Actually, to sort of work on myself more, I feel like better than promoting. I came here quite young when I was 17 or 18.
And
So I
older
think
are you now?
now I'm 26.
I was about to say 25 at the most.
I got things like that before. But no, I think I wanted to sort of like get out of my bubble and experience the world, and having this you know, Hollywood experience and background, and sort of like becoming a man here, I think had a really good influence, not in my person only, but in my films as well, you know?
Okay, now we can get your film. I love to sidetrack for a bit, but we probably should get
Yeah.
back one right here. Your opening shot, you have a can. What's in the can? And what kind of vehicle are you driving?
So it's a Jeep, and I really wanted to put the camera back there as if we're like sort of being carried with this guy, and we're part of his, you know, equipment and his tools, because I think the short is a lot about that, like tools and objects. And I wanted to sort of like maintain the mystery a little bit of his facade, and to sort of like let the doubt grow of what the short is really about. And then we have the top open up with the flare that I love, and then he just sort of comes in, you know.
Now, you're sitting in the back seat for this, I presume, like pushed
Yes.
up against the seat as far as back as you can go, which is, I hope you're a smaller person than I am, because there'd be no room for me at all back there.
No, so we had to cramp up there because we had three people in the car. So we
Three
had
people?
yeah, we
They
had.
must be smaller than you if you got three. And you're not a big guy.
No, we had the great DP Samar, who she's, you know, relatively small. She was fitting there, but the camera is just huge. We shot with an Alexa Mini, and we also had Jason with the boom, being there and being sort of like creative on how to hold the boom in tight spaces. And I was sort of like hidden in the driver's seat and just checking the monitor and seeing. So, yeah.
Now, how long did you take to shoot this scene if you're all cramped in? Hopefully not long.
No, it wasn't that long. I think we had like three or four takes.
That's not bad.
Yeah, because we were waiting for the position of the sun. Because I really wanted the sun to be at 12 o'clock, and we had this flare, so was really intentional, you know.
You've seen that when you see your next shot when he's opening the window, you definitely could see we're waiting for something because the sun is coming in perfectly at that time. Because I know it's obviously a type of day shot. Now, what beach were you on for this?
So we shot, we created sort of like two beaches for one.
Okay.
Both were in Laguna. One was 1,000 Steps, and the other one was Table Rock, both in Laguna Beach. So, southern LA in a way, right? And I wanted to, we scouted, I scouted with
Hold on one
American
second.
actor,
You said
okay?
Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach is Anaheim.
Yeah, so it's an
That's
hour.
not South LA.
No, an hour and a half south of
I'm gonna
LA.
call you out. I know that. I've been to Laguna Beach. That is not LA.
Beautiful,
That's
yes.
near Disneyland.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Sorry.
No, because that was a big thing. I really wanted to have the right beach, and in the whole process with the short was sort of unique, but I had a friend that I befriended. He was an actual metal detectorist, and I wanted to be really faithful to the community and to the people who do this for a living. And I showed him the script first, and the first thing that I asked him when he read was, where do you see this taking place? Because I in the script I'm really honest about like the trees that are surrounding the space and the tree trunks, and having this sort of like nature meets beach and forest meets sand background. And he was like, well, no, I really thought you would ask this question right away. I think there are only two beaches that I see this place taking place, and it's 1,000 Steps and Table Rock. So we visited it, and I'm like, okay, this is the exact spot that this should be, you know.
Do you need a permit for this or you're guerrilla shooting?
No, we guerrilla shot the whole thing. And
Which is fine. I don't care.
yeah.
That's nothing to do with me. Who's driving the vehicle? The Hot Wheel car.
So he drove the vehicle, Leo, the actor.
Okay. I gotta ask these questions. It could have been you. I don't know.
No, yeah, you know, but we tried to be faithful. I was outside of the car and checking the monitor, and yeah, Leo was a reasonable driver for me to trust with the car. He did it by himself. It was okay. It was okay. It
How long did you spend on the beach? Was this a day shoot, 2 day shoot, 3 day shoot?
was a day shoot. A day shoot. We started in 1,000 Steps, and then we moved to Table Rock. Company move. We had relatively large crowd for a short, I would say, and but people were, you know, this was the first day actually, and people were really excited to go to the beach. But it was already winter, I remember, so people weren't actually enjoying the beach, you know, as you would in Brazil or somewhere. But yeah, everyone was really professional, and we're just I had planned the position of the sun and the tide and everything, so we really went shot by shot, whatever we wanted. And yeah.
Now, you're on a beach location doing two beaches and you have to feed your crew. Did you picnic or did you have something else in mind?
No, we actually had a great catering service from a Brazilian restaurant, and they really helped us out. We wanted to bring this like Brazilian vibe to the whole crew. So we had stroganoff. I don't know if you know what stroganoff means, but
I
it's
do
sort of like
not.
it's a stew It's like a tomato sauce stew with meat or mushrooms for people who are vegetarian, and then side of rice, side of potatoes or something. And they packed that up for us brilliantly, and we fed the crew. So we needed like some coffee afterwards for the crew to, get back after the stroganoff. But yeah, it was beautiful, and just like listening to Brazilian music and, sort of trying to incorporate that atmosphere in the set, because the character is Brazilian, and the character is sort of like navigating this in between Brazilian and American culture, right?
Now, did you want your short to feel like it was filmed in Brazil? Because I could argue you did. I would say I thought it was Brazil. But again, you don't really show me anything American.
Yeah, no, I think I wanted the American part to come in the English and the language and his broken English in a way, and him trying to like, reach that phonetically perfectly English, and struggling to do so. I think honestly, those beaches are more Europe than Brazil. I feel like the coasts, the whole like the coastline of the rocks, and even like the color of the trees, that reminds me of maybe like Norway or something like Scandinavian country. But to answer your question, I think it's beautiful when you don't really know where you are, and you can be anywhere at all times. You can be maybe in Brazil, or you can be in America, and you can be like there, and then sort of like just transports you to this film and this idea of this unique place, right?
So when you're doing this, you're writing. I mean, from what you're telling me, it's a very Brazilian feel for you. You have Brazilian lunch, you're playing Brazilian music, you're trying to make this feel. Now, do you write in Spanish and then switch to English, or do you write in English first? And I know you wrote with a partner. I will get there in a second.
Yeah, no, wrote this in English. We actually speak Portuguese in Brazil, but I wrote in
I'm
English.
sorry.
No, it's totally fine. I wrote in English, and there were like a few words that I wanted to throw in there in Portuguese. I think if you recall, there's like in the beach sequence, he sometimes mouths some words in Portuguese, almost like an instinctive recoil or something, it just happens, and then he just like, oh, something, just like a bad word or something. But no, I wrote everything in English, and because when you translate, I feel like you lose like pacing, you lose volume of the words, right? So yeah.
And who's your writing partner on this?
So this was Maximilian Civita. He's also a Brazilian writer, and he great writer. He writes a lot of shorts. He was working with Carlos Saldanha, who made Rio and Ice Age, those like animated feature films. I don't know if you
I've
know.
seen both.
Yeah,
All
and
four of the Ice Age, I think there's four.
yeah.
And I've
Carlos.
seen Rio, the bird movie. It takes place in Brazil, I think.
Yeah, it takes place in Rio. In
Oh, in
Rio.
Rio, that's what I thought. I said, see, I have seen it.
Yeah, so Max is a really talented writer, and he built up a lot of my ideas, because this was sort of like my take on a genre piece to be made, at least. And I don't come from like a genre film background, and even like the work that I'm doing now, they're not really genre-ish, but I really wanted to sort of like tackle this idea of, oh, how would like a Brazilian filmmaker do work on a genre piece here in Hollywood, and how would that go? And Max does sort of like live in that world like way more than me, so we exchanged a lot and pulled each other from one side to the other, and that was really Really interesting. First time I ever co-wrote with someone, so really interesting.
Oh, so this is your first time actually like reaching out to somebody and do you know what I mean? Saying, hey, do you want to collaborate? So how did you find him then? Maybe we could go there.
Yeah, he was introduced by a friend here in LA, and we started to talk, started to find some common ground in filmmaking. You know, it's not always easy for you to like the same films and talk about the same things, but we did in a lot of those. And I said, hey, I'm sort of like dabbling on this script, working on this project. What do you think? And then he read what I had written, saw my ideas, saw everything, and he's like, dude, like I would love to hop in if you'd like to have me. I think this would be like a cool opportunity. And I'm like, why not? Let's give it a shot. So he
Interesting.
was so I wanted to also have his voice on set as well, because I thought it would be true to like the whole process that we had together. So he was there on set as well. And yeah, even in casting and all those processes, which were really fun, he also had his voice in there and everything. So yeah.
Okay. So I want to go back. You go to a store at one point throughout the film. Something happens. I'm going to skip over it because that's the big thing in the film. I'm not discussing it. So yes, I know what happened. We go to the store location. Where's the store? Did you have to ask the store for permission? Did you rent the store? How does that work?
Yes, of course. So my brilliant producer, Claudia Shakmati, we figured out early on that we needed to that the pawn shop would be like a huge location, right, for the film. And because ultimately the film takes place in three locations: the beach, the pawn shop, and the house.
We're gonna get
Yeah,
there.
but the pawn shop was a huge thing, and we scouted a bit on the pawn shops, and then she brought three options, basically, and I went there with my DP, and we looked at the lighting and the times of the day and how lighting would hit on a specific place and everything so forth. And then we got to this pawn shop, which was in Burbank, actually. So we went from Laguna Beach to Burbank, shooting through the whole LA. And it was really nice. The owners were really, you know, excited about the idea of shooting like a pawn shop sequence with like a clerk, and you know, and sort of like breaking sometimes the old stereotype of like, you know, how a clerk is shot usually in films. And we had permission, we had access, we had everything, and we spent like a whole day there. We shot it on a Sunday, so I think the pawn shop was already closed, was supposed to be closed on a Sunday. So yeah, I think it was really important for me to have this feel of, again, like the objects, right, and the antiquities, and how like these people are sort of like living above all these objects and all these histories at the same time, you know. So having the background of all these objects placed in those walls was really, really key here in this film.
Okay, let's go with the ring. The ring kind of go works with the pawn shop. Where did you find the ring?
So this was Claudia calling me and being really specific in how I was imagining the ring, and I was really specific in detailing her exactly what I wanted and the type of engraving that I wanted as well. So she found with a specific jewelry designer, which was a lovely woman, and she was really interested as well in featuring her jewelry on the film. So it was handmade, and we had,
Oh.
yeah, handmade. We had two rings to play with. So the rings were really precious on set. We wouldn't, you know, give the rings to anyone. They really became like Sméagol and Lord of the Rings, you know, and just protecting her ring and everything. So thankfully we didn't damage any of the rings. I have one still here, and I think Claudia has one at home just to keep as recollections of the film, because yeah, the ring is a huge, huge thing.
Who did your computer work?
So there were a few people. I edited most of the film myself, but there was a huge title sequence at the end, which again, I was really intentful
I
on.
so I'm more going to ask about the stuff that he's researching on the computer.
Got you. So this was our production designer, Amanda, and yeah, she spent like a couple of weeks sort of like working on that, alongside our VFX sort of like guy, who's Casey, who's a genius in doing like 3D work, collages, and he also did the whole title sequence at the end that I was going to mention.
We're getting there, I know.
Yeah, so actually like the typing of the words, and you know, because it's different when you're actually having like motion on screen, right?
Yes.
Than having like that screen. So actually like the typing and those like tracking and things like that, that was mostly Casey, but being guided by me and Amanda.
Whose house was it?
This was actually Max's house, the co-writer. But we scouted a lot of houses, and then Max like, hey, like I have my house, and let's give it a look. And I loved it because we have this back window to the room that there's a shot that we sort of like go from like inside the room to outside the room, and we see Leo actually by the window, you know, googling on the computer. I thought that shot would be really important to sort of like stabilize that or establish that he might be what being watched at that moment, you know. So the idea of creating tension by going outside of the house as well and then coming back in, and yeah, and also the front door. I feel like the front door was really key because I wanted it to be facing the street, and for us to be looking at the street and be able to see the movement of cars also flying by. So when, you know, spoiler, but when the cops are there and we see the cops being see the cops being still by the door, and then I wanted to have like cars sort of like going by as if his world was just like
Drinking.
stuck at that moment, you know, but the
Okay.
whole world was moving at the same time.
And we do discuss music. Don't worry, I didn't forget. You
Nice.
have lots of music throughout this, so
Lots of
where did that
music.
come from?
No, it was a really fun process. I collaborated with two artists. First was Antonio Simonetti, both Brazilian. But first was Antonio, who he never done film scoring before. He is mostly like a producer and a DJ for more electronic music. Because I feel like my idea for this film wasn't really to have like an orchestral sound. It was more to have like a compilation of noises and to play with the electric sort of like vibrance of those metals and those objects as if like they had like life themselves, but also play with the beach and the nature and sort of like study how would these things juxtapose with each other, right? So instead of having like beautiful flute or violin or like a bass, we would have pads and we would have sound effects over you know, electric disturbances and things like that. And slowly we started to understand what the soundscape was. Because it changes a lot during the film. I feel like I wanted also to carry the audience on this journey that goes from sort of like innocent beach walk at first, and then goes from like ultimate chaos of being chased at the end, you know. So yeah.
Do you ever see yourself making a film in the future was not Brazilian based? Which seems to be you're very heavily have Brazilian roots, which is fine. I don't say take that out, but do you always want to have that in your films?
Yeah, I was asked this question before on, okay, would you ever want to do a film that it's sort of like you're not bringing yourself to it, right? Or
Well, that's
you're.
not, no. I just said influence. I didn't want to say not bring yourself because
No,
I feel
because.
if you wrote it or acted it, that's you. I would not say you're not going to be yourself.
Awesome. No, totally. I have worked with films that are more American than this one, even though I feel like this is way more American than the first film that I did before.
Really? Because I don't feel this was an American film at all. It doesn't feel American to me.
That's good. I think that's
'Cause the music shapes it so much, and the beach, it
yeah.
all reminds me of a southern feel.
Yeah, that's interesting because I mean, you guys in California have such amazing beaches,
I'm
right?
not in California, remember,
No, I
because
mean, like, sorry, I feel like the American population itself has like such amazing beaches and everything. And I know you're Canadian, but yeah, I feel like maybe they aren't retracted or pictured as such in films. I feel like
I
the
could
way.
agree with that.
I feel like the way people handle beaches more in like American filmmaking is usually like by the end when the character reaches like its final journey and then it's getting to the beach as sort of like this like awe moment of being in touch with nature again and whatever. But what if like the beach was a huge thread in the film actually, you know, and you see like a something like Itumama Tamien, and you would transpose that to, you know, like California or North Carolina or somewhere like that, you know.
I don't know how to say this nicely. If I think of beach movies from California, I think of those old roller skating movies
Surf movies.
or the breakdancing movies. They always seem to play takes California. There always seems to be a beach, and they don't seem to be using the beach. They either use the boardwalk around it or do something nearby. The beach is there, but unlike yours, it's not a character.
Yeah,
Unless
I
you're
agree.
watching those teen beach movies, and I think those are films. I've already seen it because I have younger kids,
Yeah.
and that's about the only time I'd feel that maybe they use them more as a setting.
Yeah. No, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But I think coming back to your question, I would love to tap into to more, you know, like American centered movies, but I feel like us in the world are sort of like being evolved into like a more globalized point of view, like more and more. Even, you know, when you listen to like Rosalía's new album or something, right? We are always and every day more being influenced by other cultures as well. So I think it's sort of like fun to find this in between lines between foreigners and people who are actually from the place, and what does it mean to be from the place, and what does it mean to be a foreigner, and how do these like perspectives on the city and the place like change among these type of people, you know? And but yeah, but the role of language also was really has been really interesting for me. Because how does language get into that equation? You know, if you have an accent, does it mean you're not from the place? Or, you know, there's a lot of like layers into that.
Okay, your favorite film, please.
A favorite film? It's really hard.
Yes.
From I'm just gonna say one that really shaped me, and I'm gonna highlight Brazil here, but a movie that I think it's not really well talked about. It's a film called Entranced Earth.
I
It's
haven't
by
seen it.
Glauber Rocha. Please, if you take anything from this Zoom call, watch Entranced Earth. It's really Brazilian, but at the same time, really universal, especially nowadays with the whole political landscape that we're facing in the world. I think going more, into the right wing. But it's a film that was shot in, I think it was 62 or 64, and it literally predicted how the military dictatorship would happen in Brazil. Years before it actually took place, and it's so historically accurate. It's just like insane how the guy made this prediction. And Glauber is just a genius in sort of like transporting Brazilian filmmaking to the world. I feel like him, Nelson Pereira dos Santos, these guys from this time in Brazilian filmmaking, which was the early 60s and sort of like parallel to like the French New Wave and the Italian neorealism. I feel like those three forces were sort of like pushing cinema in the world. And it was a time that, films were being made in Brazil just and literally just centering like society and highlighting like the problems and what was going on, not trying to like sugarcoat anything and being really true to this perspective of the people. And yeah, it's rare for you to find films like this nowadays, so yeah, Entranced Earth, watch a really poetic, really beautiful, really strong film.
Well, I have to let you go because I'm going to run out of time. I had more questions, but they could wait for another time. Tell everybody where they can find your work.
Yeah, I have a website. It's called thiagoleoni.com. On YouTube, you can find a bit of my commercials as well and documentaries and the things that I'm sort of like leaning towards now. But yeah, thanks for having me. It was brilliant talk.
Thank you for your time and have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.